Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of United We Fall. We began the discussion between Pastor J.D. Greer and Imam Omar Sliman with the question which was given by the moderator, Kevin Singer. And the question was, what is the current age, and even more particularly, areas of the current age that has been difficult for you both to be hopeful right now? What are some issues you have been particularly attentive to lately? Imam Omar began to answer the question by telling us the story about his trip to Syria and how difficult it was for him to leave the country only by helping 100 families, as he sees millions of the people of Syria who are struggling. Now, let's continue with Imam Omar to hear the rest of his answer. As he stated,
so what would have been unimaginable to happen in India started in Kashmir and then happened in India with Hindu nationalism, and that's by all means not an interrogation of Hinduism. There are peaceful Hindus that are rejecting that, but under the Modi regime and what's happening in India, mimicking what's happening or leading to or expressing a desire to replicate what China is doing to 3 million plus Uyghurs, putting them in concentration camps. And what I fear, when you look at the Rohingya, you look at what's happening to the Uyghurs, you look at what's happening to people in India, that global rise of fascism, we clearly have not learned our lessons from World War II. I think we're a generation that's forgotten World War II, and unfortunately we're tumbling right back to that.
Imam Omar Sliman is sharing his struggle with the persecution of the Muslims in this world. He's talking about the Hindus, and some of the Hindus, according to his words, are nice people, peaceful people, but others are extremists, those who are persecuting the Muslims in Kashmir. And they are following the steps which we see in the country of China, how the Chinese government are persecuting the Muslims. But wait a minute. If your house is built out of glass, do not throw rock on your neighbor's window. Let me say this again. If a Muslim rejecting what the Hindus or what the Chinese are doing to their people, you need to examine yourself first. Islam is built on fascism. Islam began in Saudi Arabia in the cities of Mecca and Medina on killing non-Muslim believers. The teachings of the Quran is very clear. Engage in war with them until Allah's religion is made supreme. Muslims must follow the teaching of Islam by annihilating the non-Muslims from the face of the earth to spread Islam. Muhammad set the foundation of how he will treat all the people of the earth, not just some Indian or some Chinese, but all the people of the earth. That is when he stated in the hadith, Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari, I have been commanded by Allah to engage in war with people, that is the people of the earth, until they say that we bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Imam Omar Sliman group of Brotherhood have already told us, as I shared with you so many times in that study and in previous studies, that they're here to annihilate the America civilization from within. They are here to destroy Christianity, to get rid of Judaism and every other belief. They're here to destroy our freedom and replace everything about us by Sharia, Islamic law. That is what Imam Omar's people believe, and that's what they wrote by their own hand in the memorandum, the long strategic goal for Muslim Brotherhood in North America. But if you hear Imam Omar speaking like that, who is compassionate and love for the Muslims who are suffering and struggling all over planet Earth, well, guess what? You will assume that Islam is against this fascism, that Islam is against the inhumane treatment of people, that is by using any kind of persecution. But that is not the reality of Islam. And when you see the body language of both Pastor Kevin and Pastor Greer, you will assume Imam Omar is telling the truth. After all, normal Americans, those who never study the Quran, those who never know anything about Islam, they have no clue who's telling the truth. But when you get the okay from the body language of these two ministers about what Imam Omar is sharing with his audience, about the struggle, the difficulty he's facing today, 2020, with on and on with persecution of people. There is no freedom around the world for the Muslims. And he will tell you for others too. That paints an unrealistic view of Islam as a loving or a peaceful religion in the mind and the soul of the American people. That's why, once again, we are against any dialogue with Muslims. Because the only one who would benefit out of these meetings and these conversations are the Muslims. You know why? Because Christians in dialogue do not argue, do not debate. It's just simply a soft, wonderful chat. If I am there, I will tell Imam Omar, excuse me, is this not what you have practiced in Islam for the last 1400 years? Is this not what you are planning to force on America in the near future when you have the upper hand? Why do you reject what you believe in? Once again, your house, sir, is built out of glass, and you throw on rock at the Hindus' windows or the Chinese windows. What if I throw the same rock on your own house? Your house will crumble. And we cannot see the crumble of Islam in any dialogue, but you can see it clearly when Christian educated leaders who knows the truth about Islam debate the Muslim believers like Imam Omar or anybody else. Finally, Imam Omar Suleiman ended this segment by telling us about this problem of forgetting. He said, World War II happened because of this fascism. And he ended by saying, I think we are a generation that has forgotten World War II, and unfortunately, listen carefully, we are tumbling right back to that. And I don't think this is anything but a threat. What the world is doing to the Muslims in India and China, and if you literally have the separate conversation out of the stage, Imam Omar will tell you, and the Americans and their allies on Europe who engaged in war with the Muslims of Syria and the Muslim of Iraq and the Muslim of Afghanistan and the Muslim of Pakistan and the Muslims of Yemen and the Muslims of Libya. You see, we, that the Americans and the Europeans, are guilty of the same crime which he is pointing his finger to concerning the Chinese and the Indian. Muslims are to kill, not to be killed. And they are willing to go in war, World War III, with a joyful heart. I don't believe any of the Americans or any of the Europeans who killed any Muslim terrorists in these countries, which I mentioned earlier, have experienced joy as he was killing those Muslims. And here is my evidence. You will never see any soldier in the Muslim world, these are the Afghani and the Pakistani, the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, Fat Hamas, Hezbollah, all these jihadi who are enjoying beheading the Christians and others by their own hand as we kill chickens in America. You will never see any of these people have this post-traumatic stress disorder. They receive joy. They receive healing in the chest by killing the infidels, as Allah stated that throughout the pages of the Quran. But American soldiers and European soldiers, they do suffer a lot with the post-traumatic stress disorder. Why? Because we don't enjoy killing people. Even though we don't cut their heads with a knife like a chicken, but we kill them within the confines of warfare. And when we capture any of these Muslim soldiers, we treat them as prisoners of war, as we feed them all the good food, halal food, take care of their health, fix every problem they have physically, we treat them with respect, as if they were just some heroes. But when the Muslims capture any of our soldiers, they will do exactly what Allah and Muhammad taught them in the Quran and in the Hadith. That is the savage practice of warfare of Islam. Maybe you have not heard the threats by Imam Omar Suleiman that we have not learned from World War II and we're about to get to World War III. But believe me, have you studied the Quran, which Imam Omar knows very well, and read the 79 verses where Allah ordered the Muslim believers to engage in war, you know exactly what they are hoping to accomplish very soon. They want to go to war. As a matter of fact, they will do anything they can to bring the American soldiers back in the Middle East for the hope to kill a few more. Because if we live in peace, that goes against everything Islam is all about.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient track that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information.
Well, let's move on in our study with the rest of the answer of Imam Omar Suleiman, once again, who stated...
And I think there's a second level of that. So the rhetoric of clash of civilizations, that hateful rhetoric, it's bearing its consequences right now. You're seeing the logical conclusion of that with the xenophobia here. We know what's happened in North Carolina, Bliat Yusron Razan, students at this campus, right, and what happened to them, the consequences of hate. And not just those consequences of hate here, but globally. And people talk about this clash of civilizations, and it didn't need to be there. But it was identity clashes, and you see a different clash of civilizations.
Now, Imam Omar Suleiman is talking about the second rhetoric, that is a hateful rhetoric, which is bearing its consequence in North Carolina, there at that university. Why? Because we heard about the three Muslims who were killed in North Carolina. And once again, the media made a big deal about it, and the Muslims made a big deal about it, and they said that these three Muslims were killed because they are different than the rest of the American people, because they're Muslims, because they wear the hijab. But in reality, as we have shared with you in the past, when we investigated that crime, we found that this had nothing to do for being Muslim or not. The three murders were the result of an argument over a parking spot. There was a nutcase guy living in that apartment. He was acting like a policeman there, who was mad and angry, not just at these three Muslim people whom he shot and killed, but everybody else who parked their cars in wrong places. They did not obey his agenda of how the people in the community should live, by every person park in their own parking spot. And they did whatever they wish anyway, thinking they are better than the laws and the rules of the parking spaces there. And they end being shot and they end being killed. And the proof is, we know for sure that he is serving time in prison, not because he killed people for being Muslims, but because he took the law into his hand by not allowing them to park their cars in the wrong places. This is a problem happening even between neighbors all over America. White to white, black to black. This has nothing to do with xenophobia. This is a reality of sin in our lives, when we hate people, sometimes even for no reason. But Imam Omar, like Kerr, like most Muslims who covered that story in North Carolina, they did everything they could to make this murder a hate crime. Yes, these three Muslims were killed simply because they were Muslims, because they looked different than us, because the ladies were wearing the hijab, and because the gentleman was a Muslim. No, my friends, once again, this crime in North Carolina had nothing to do with xenophobia. The xenophobia is in the head of Mr. Omar Suleiman. And the proof is very simple. Why? Omar Suleiman never talked about the Christians who were killed all over planet Earth by his own organization hands, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the rest of their jihadi affiliates. Why is it okay for the Muslims to kill Christians in Africa, burning them in the churches while they're worshiping Jesus Christ, and at the same time, it's not okay for that wacko guy to kill three Muslims who live in America? You see, in Islam, there are two standards for justice. It is justice for Muslims to perform jihad for Allah, to engage in war for Allah, to kill as many as he can of the Jews and the Christians. But for any infidel to kill one Muslim, it is a huge problem. I did not hear Imam Omar speaking about September 11 and how evil it was for his 19 Muslim believers to kill 3,000 Americans. But he will continue to sing the song about the injustice and the xenophobia of that one man who killed three Muslims in North Carolina. The clashes of civilizations exist in the pages of the Quran. The clashes of civilization exist in Imam Omar's agenda, as he is telling us that they will take over America and removing the American civilizations and replace it by Islamic civilization, as the Islamic State will take over the whole world and Muslims will be practicing Sharia, Islamic law, not just in America, but all across the globe. And that's exactly why he's warning us. You better learn and listen about World War II, because soon we will have World War III. Well, let's go to the final statement, which was given by Imam Omar Suleiman, to learn about his answer concerning the difficulties which he faces today around the world with the current age situations.
And I'll end with this, which is, one in every 100 people in the world right now is a refugee of some sort, an asylum seeker, a displaced person. So if you watch the documentary Human Flow, it blew my mind, because you talk about the global refugee crisis. And so you're not just talking about a clash of civilizations in terms of identities and fascism and the consequences of hate bearing in the way that they are in terms of militaries and reckless rhetoric and the wars and things of that sort. But you're also talking about, I think, the victims of those hateful agendas. And they are being left to fend for themselves in ways that should not be expected of any human beings. And then they're being treated with fear, being treated with hatred, as opposed to sources of inspiration and hope. And so for me, the greatest test of our time right now is the global refugee and migrant crisis, because those two worlds are clashing now. And we're seeing the consequences of those actions. And I think we have to really recalibrate as to what we're going to do about these two worlds clashing now as well.
Now, do you hear the voice of the victim of what's going on in the world? Do you hear the compassion of Imam Omar Suleiman? Do you see how smooth he is in his speech? This is exactly, once again, why I will not advise J.D. Greer or any other minister to talk with such Muslim leaders. You're talking about a naive Eve speaking to the serpent. That's exactly what is happening right now. What is the chance for Eve to lead the serpent to Christ? It's zero. But what is the chance for the serpent to make naive Eve eat from the tree? 100%. Now we're talking about the refugees of planet Earth. One out of every 100 people in the world today, right now, is a refugee of some sort. People are struggling over the world because of anything but not Islam. You notice here, if I am sitting in that meeting on the spot, I say, how much of this struggle the whole world is facing right now have anything to do with Islam, Imam Omar? He would tell me none. I said, let's open the Quran. Let's look at the history of Islam in the last 1400 years. Because believe me, Islam has victimized more people in the last 1400 years than any other worldview. As a matter of fact, there are more millions of Muslims killed by the hand of Muslims than those who are struggling right now all over the world. I'm talking about Muslims victimizing other Muslims, including killing them. Think about the war between Iraq and Iran. For 10 years, hundreds of thousands of Muslims were killed by the other Muslims. These are two neighboring countries. And so on with every war Muslims has been involved in from the days of Muhammad until today. For example, in Egypt, in the first 100 years when the Muslims came to Egypt, between 641 to 741, in that 100 years, we're talking about 4 million Christian men were slaughtered, and their wives and the children were taken as concubines and slaves. That's why we have the Muslim country of Egypt today. Is Imam Omar Suleiman willing to talk about that? It is easy to to point your finger to some of the problems of the world, not realizing that your religion, your own cult, is the master of all of performing the same crimes which you don't like by others. But at least those who do these evil things in the world do not say Allah. God told us to do so. You see, the twist here is very important. When Muslims kill, they're not killing because they hate or because of sin. They're killing because Allah said so. They're doing Allah a favor. Those who defend Allah by killing their enemy and the enemy of Allah, as stated throughout the pages of the Quran. This is the reality, my friends. And because the smooth talk of Imam Omar Suleiman, people left that meeting with good feelings towards Muslims and Islam. Because, hey, if you do not know too much about Islam and you hear that gentleman who dressed in a suit and a tie like a moderate American preacher and he's telling us about the crisis the world is facing right now and we need to do something about it because that's not fair. These people are hopeless. They do not know how to defend themselves. That's how Muslims talk. And by the way, if you ask him, give us an example, he would tell you, my people, the Muslim Palestinians, are struggling. They're occupied by the Jews. And the Jews are killing them. And that's why they are seeking refuge in America. And we must help them. Now, listen, investigate that one example. You found that the Jewish people are persecuted by the Muslims of Palestine as they launch rockets on them everywhere. They're trying everything they can to get rid of Israel, including the MSA, as we have shared with you in the past. This is the group which Imam Omar Suleiman speaking on their behalf in this dialogue. These people are so happy. They're so thankful to Allah that the Jewish people are coming back to Israel. And the reason is this, because they said they don't want to go around the whole world to hunt for the Jews. They are so pleased that Israel exists because now they can kill all the Jews in one spot instead of going in circles around the world to kill them. My friends, this is the reality of the smooth talk of Imam Omar Suleiman. If you are not very careful, you get sucked into his deception. And to continue our study of United We Fall, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.